Lord, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is a joy to be in thy presence in this evening as we have come together with thy word before us and the great anticipation in our hearts, O Lord, of the word that we will read and the word that we will meditate upon and the truths, Lord, that thou will reveal to us. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be focused, that our hearts would be intent on learning of thee. So bless us as we have gathered together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, let's turn with the Lord's help and read together from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Ljubim želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Djela apostola 9. glava. Let's read the first nine verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink.
Our gracious God, we come before thee this evening hour upon bended knee, and Lord, we are just thankful that we are able to be here in this evening hour and to spend some time here together in thy word, thanking thee for this opportunity, thanking thee that we have this freedom, Lord, to assemble, thanking thee for all that thou hast done for us in terms of this country and the blessings that we have to freely worship together as often and in whatever manner we would like. Father, for this freedom, Lord, we do give thee the thanks. And Lord, as thy word instructs us, Father, we would pray for our government, for all those who would be the leaders of the land, Father, and in government positions, Father, that thou wouldst grant unto them that they would look to thee and that they would recognize that thou art that supreme leader, Lord, from whence cometh all our help, and Lord, where all wisdom abides. And so we just pray thee, Lord, that thou wouldst continue to watch over us as we dwell here in this land and that thou wouldst protect us from all harm and evil. Father, for we know throughout history and even in this current age, Father, that there are countries where there is much suppression against those who would call out on the name of Jesus. And so again, we just want to simply give thee thanks for this opportunity that we have even in this day. And so, Father, there are many reasons for us to give thee thanks. Father, we thank thee for our health. We thank thee for the jobs that we have that provides means for our families, Father, for food and for clothing and for shelter, for means of transportation. Father, and all things, Lord, that thou hast given unto us, we count it a privilege, Lord, and a great blessing that even in this evening hour we can be here in thine house because thou hast lined up all these things. And so, Father, we would pray thee that we would redeem this time, that we would use it wisely, Lord, and that we would focus now upon thy word, and that whatever thy word would speak to us and teach us, even through the Holy Spirit, as he would speak to us, Father, that we would pay attention, Father, that we would take it to heart, and that we would strive to live according to thy ways. Father, where there is admonishment, Father, bring that to us, Father, knowing that even when we feel that, we are rejoicing because we know that we are then thy sons and thy daughters, because thou dost love us and dost direct us as needed. And we thank thee for the comfort, Lord, that we can get from thy word as well. And so, Father, we know that we are coming to a source of life, Lord, that is ever new. And so we give thee thanks for this thy word that teaches us of thy ways. And Father, even as Jesus Christ has made himself manifest to Saul on his way to Damascus, Father, we pray that thou make thyself manifest to us, that we would see light that would come forth from thy word, and that we would, Lord, call thee Lord and ask, what wilt thou have me to do? And so we just pray thee that thy spirit now would speak to us through our brother, Lord, that we might feel thy presence in our midst. Father, for our congregation, Father, we would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help each and every one. We have various needs, and we are in different places in life, Father, and we just lean upon thee, and we call out to thee, Lord, that thou wouldst help each and every one. And be with us, Father. Often it is that on the outside, everything looks fine, Father, but inwardly, we are struggling. And Father, we just pray thee that thou wouldst help our congregation and be thou with each and every one. Provide healing where there is a need for healing. Provide companionship where there is loneliness. Provide, Lord, in every way, as only thou canst do. Father, man is very, very limited in what he can do, Father, but thou canst do all things, and in thee we have faith. Father, there are many things that we can petition thee for and ask of thee. We just lean upon thee for everything, asking thee that thou wouldst help us, that thou wouldst bless us, that thou wouldst fill our every need as we look to thee in faith and stand in thy grace. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There was in the chapter before us, the verses that we have read, we read of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And as we read this, it has to be impressed upon us what his conversion was like. And at the moment that he realized who was speaking to him, He didn't call him his master, he called him his Lord. And right there was the conversion of the Apostle Paul. If we look at his life, we could probably find the best that human nature can bring forth in the life of the Apostle Paul before his conversion. He was everything that men aspire to be. He was everything. Educated and zealous. So zealous for God that he went to the high priest, it tells us here. Because there was a group of those who were of the way, it says here. Any of this way. What is this way? This way is the way of Christ. This way is Christianity. Christianity at its real meaning of what it means to be a Christian. And there was a group that had escaped because of the threatenings of the Jews that they wanted to escape. And they ran off to Damascus. And Saul is, it says, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He goes to the high priest and he gets papers, letters, whatever he needs to go and to pull these men and women, whether Whether they're men or women, doesn't matter. There's no mercy because his zeal for God was real. And so we have in Saul the best that human nature can bring. Really. And yet, we find the Lord arresting him on his way to Damascus. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, Saul is living as he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was living in the blessing of the covenant. As in the Old Testament, we can read of Naaman, him and many others, Jesus speaks and he says of the widow that Elias was sent unto, and he also talks about, he says, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So these were many lepers were living in the covenant, in the blessings of the covenant, and yet we're not partaking of the blessings. How could that be? They were Jews. The covenant and the blessings of God were for them. And it says there were many, Jesus says there were many lepers. None of them was cleansed except Naaman. Naaman wasn't in the covenant. He wasn't a partaker of the blessings. How did he get cleansed? And yet, none of the Israelites, none of them were. And it says there were many lepers. So none, and many widows. But none were visited like the widow in the city of Sidon that the prophet was sent to. Many widows, but only one. Many lepers, but only one. And they were outside of the covenant. Here's Saul. He's a Jew. And the Lord is asking him, "Saul, Saul." And he thinks he's in. Just like the lepers did. Just like all of them. They thought they were in. And the Lord is asking him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And so, dear ones, we are this privileged people. We are privileged. We are raised as those lepers were raised, as those widows were raised, as Saul was raised. Much was given to us. Much was given to us. But are the blessings ours? Are we partakers of the blessing? We are in the covenant. But so was Saul. And so were all the others. But they weren't partaking of the blessing. And so Saul realized that this way, which he was trying to stamp out, how dare anyone turn against and make light of this way which he was so zealous for, his God. And so he found out about this way. And his conversion was immediate. And he said, "Lord," the question was asked, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And we find that when the Apostle Paul, who we can very easily say, who in his writings has shown us what it means to live this way, he showed us And he lived the life that he earlier had persecuted those who were on it. But Paul tells us in Philippians, he writes a verse that I know all of us know so well. He says, and we have to keep in mind where he is when he's writing this. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul is not enjoying his freedom here. He's in prison in Rome. Now, if we are asked to write down, and now without any hypocrisy, I don't have to see it. No one has to see it. No one has to see this except God. And God knows, what is my life? To live is, what are we going to put in? Pleasure? Okay. Let's put it in. To live is pleasure. Okay. To die is what then? Christ? It can't be. What does it mean to die then? Or to live is wealth. To die is what? Loss. There's no gain. It's all loss. When I live for anything in this life, and we're going to say, well, we don't live. No, let's not be hypocritical. Let's just answer or duplicate what Paul wrote. If we were asked to write this, what would you say? Oh, I would write, to live is Christ. Okay, is that really my life? Because Saul or Paul is in a prison, and he knows that the emperor is making the decision right now for him. He could tell him, you're going to die. And he's going to walk out of the doors of that prison, out of the city, to the place of execution, and in one swift move, his life is over. He knows that. He knows that that might be exactly what will take place. But he also knows there's another thing that could happen. He could be told that you're set free. And the road that is before him now is, he's going back, he's going to go to Philippi. And he's going to go to other cities, new places. And he's going to be the same Paul that he was that brought him into this prison. The very thing that brought him to this prison, he's going to continue to do. Why? Why? Why do you not care for your life? To live is Christ. That's it. To die is Christ. It's always Christ. And so, it doesn't matter if I live, if I die. It's always Christ. That, my dear brother, my dear sister, my dear friend, is a Christian. That. Now let's go back. Have we thought about, are we thinking about it all? What would I write down my life is? To live is, you know, the brother led us in prayer of thanksgiving. Giving thanks for all the things that we have. And enumerated many of them. There's all the things that come from our Lord. Paul had none of those. He had it all before his conversion. After his conversion, he had none of that. He had none of the things that we were giving thanks for. And yet he lived a life of thankfulness. Not spoke it, lived it. Lived a life of thankfulness. He knows that the road that he might travel tomorrow is the road of execution. To die is gain. No problem. No problem. What does it mean to us, dear ones, to be called a Christian? We identify as Christians. Just because I claim it doesn't mean I am. Just because I say I am a Christian doesn't mean anything. I could say, I'm a carpenter and I don't know what a 2x4 is. It doesn't make me a carpenter because I say I'm a carpenter. I could say I'm an engineer. It doesn't mean I'm an engineer. I can say I'm a Christian, but it doesn't mean I'm a Christian. Unless to live is Christ. That means Christ is the author of my life. My life. He is the author of my life. I live according to Him. As He is the author of my life, then, dear ones, I can claim Him. Because nothing in this life, Paul says it, where is it, in Romans? He says it so beautifully. He says, you know, he writes of the problem of he says, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what it means to live as Christ. When he knows there's nothing. He just and Paul wasn't going to work like we're going to go to work tomorrow if the God gives us a day. He's not going to go to work and spend his day at work or mowing the lawn or tending to the garden at home. He was in the daily battle with principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places, those who were threatening him. He was in prison. Beaten, stoned, left for dead. I didn't listen to it, but I heard there was just a sermon a couple weeks ago about the very life of Apostle Paul and what he had actually lived. That was his life. That's not our life. We're going to go to school, work. Well, school's out, but and what is our witness? What is it that we will identify that I am a Christian, as we read here that of Saul's conversion when he recognized who his Lord was. He said, "Lord," and then he asked him, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Well, I can't ask that question right now, not knowing what the Lord wants me to do, because it's in His Word. Saul was shown. He was told, go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do. And he was told, I will show you what great things you must suffer. How does that even, what do you mean, I'm going to suffer? Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ my Lord. Nothing. Jesus told him, they persecuted me. They hated me. Why would you expect anything different? But we do. We don't expect it. We demand it. And we get rebellious and we grumble and why? Why me? Why this again? This isn't fair or whatever it is. Because to live is fill it in. With no hypocrisy. Let's all fill it in. Dear ones, if we can say to live is Christ, that means to die is gain. There's nothing that I fear. I'm in prison now, writing to a church in Philippi that to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain, knowing that I might die tomorrow. And knowing if I don't, nothing is changing. I'm not going to, just like Peter and John and the apostles, when they first, after the day of Pentecost, when they started to preach Jesus Christ, counted it a joy to be beaten for Christ. That's what it means to live as Christ. To live as Christ means that there's a cross. There's a place that I have to go to. It's a place that I must die. And I must die there daily. I must die to my will. I must die to everything. Jesus, Saul asked him, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Jesus showed him. And he showed you and he showed me what we must do. And dear ones, Jesus tells us that his law will be written upon the tables of our hearts. Upon the tables of our hearts. I don't need to ask you, "Hey, what should I do?" I don't need to ask anyone. Because Christ is in me. When my life is Christ, his laws are in my heart. I don't need to converse with anybody. I don't need to ask my church, "Is this allowed? Is this permitted? Can I do this? Can I push boundaries? Can I? No, I don't. When my life is Christ, he is the author of my life. He directs me. And I don't need anything else. And so there will be no skirmishes. And when they are, they will be short-lived. Because his law is in my heart. And he will take me back and show me, "You've erred. That's not me." And it causes me then to repent and come back to him. That is what it means to live when he is the author of my life. But when you touch my pride and I respond, that means I don't have Christ as my life. My life is me. My life is my pride. My life is my name. And so on. What did that matter to Paul? What did it matter to him? He knows that the next day, if he's freed, he's going to preach. He's going to try to gain another soul for his life. Who is his life? Christ. He's going to try to win another soul for Christ. And if it means getting beaten again, they hated his master, they hated his Lord, they're going to hate him too. But it's not going to stop him. And so, dear ones, I think about that. I think about the conversion of Saul. We look at the covenant blessings that were for the children of Israel. How many partook of it? How many partook? We have Naaman, an outsider, who never grew up even hearing about God. Knew nothing about him. He didn't have any laws. He didn't have nothing. And he tried to reason, "Well, aren't the rivers better?" No. You go to the Jordan and you go down 7 times. That's it. There's no deal making. He learned obedience. And through obedience came the blessing. Dear ones, we want a blessing. We want to be blessed. "Bless me, Lord. Bless me. Bless me." It comes. We never obey and then say, "Bless me, Lord." No, when we obey, the blessing is there. What was Paul's blessing? Was it, "Okay, now you're not going to get beaten ever again because now you're obedient"? No. The blessings are something that we perhaps never feel. Maybe our life is not Christ. And then we don't feel those blessings that Paul felt. To be able to say, "To die is gain. If I walk that road out of this city and out of this prison and the executioner is waiting for me, to die is gain." Is our life the author of my life, Jesus Christ? so that I can say that. And not only say it, but live it and mean it. Live it. What wilt thou have me to do? If I put in to live is pleasure, to live is whatever, if I put something else in, into that spot, then I am living, expecting the blessings. And you know what? Misinterpreting them. Misinterpreting them possibly also. Because, as the brother said, we live in a country, we have a good life. Every one of us here, yeah, there's hardship, there's all kinds of things going on. But persecutions and to have a need, a deep, deep need, we got nowhere to escape and nowhere to turn to. There's not many of us here that have that, if any. And so the blessings of our life that we receive, we will interpret that as a blessing from the Lord due to my obedience. So then where was Paul's blessing? What were his blessings? If that was his blessing, then where were Paul's? And yet we can say that he showed us perhaps more than anyone else what it means to live the best that a human nature life can produce and the best that a life in Christ can produce. We know that Paul eventually faced the executioner. We read in his letter, he says, I know that my time has come. The Lord showed him. He showed him that your time is now come. You're going to put your pen down, Paul. Your travelings are over. Your service to me is now going to be rewarded. And Paul says, I know I'm going to receive a crown. And it's a crown that is also prepared for everyone. It's not just me. I wasn't singled out as some special person that only I will receive. He goes, no, all who what? Who love the Lord Jesus. The commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and soul. And the neighbor as thyself. Do that. The same crown that I will receive. Yeah, you may not go through the persecutions that Paul went through. We may not ever face those things. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Our faithfulness isn't going to be determined by if we went through it or if we didn't. It's our heart. It's the heart. When I say my life is Christ, and I can say that non-hypocritically, honestly before my God, and that means now at my place of work, at my wherever I am at my home with my children, at my wherever I'm at, I am showing a life of submission and obedience to my God. And the blessings that the inner man receives, the light, the glorious light of Jesus Christ in my heart, in my life, leading me through everything. With no regrets, with no sorrows. When I'm saying sorrows, I mean sorrows of the fact that I'm going to have to now go to prison again, and oh, poor me. And we just never see Paul doing that. We just never see him doing that. Because he had absolute, complete fulfillment in Jesus Christ. That shows us, dear ones. And as the brother was praying, I was thinking this too. He kept turning to Christ. Give us. Well, he's the source of everything. So that is who we have to turn to. It's Christ. He's the source of everything. And so, dear ones, the joy and the peace that Paul had, we can have. All we have to do is say, Lord, He is my Lord. Not the pleasures, not the wealth, not the drinking, not the drugs, not the my life. He is my Lord. He rules in my heart. He is crowned in my heart. When He is crowned in my heart, I have peace and joy that cannot be found in the land of the living. It won't be found here. It's all hidden in Him. And He is available to us. And He is calling us, come unto me. He says, and if we say, but there's no way that I can ever attain unto that. Jesus says, if anyone will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. I will never, ever leave you without the desires of your heart. If the desires of your heart is me, Jesus says, you will receive me. I'll never cast you out. So, what is the answer? What is the answer for our yesterdays? All the sin that we had in our life. There's forgiveness. What about today? What about today? If the past, I'm still living in today. Every moment I'm found in my weakness. Well, the Lord purifies us. He purifies us. He's, you know, Paul says, old things are passed away. That means that perfect model of a life that he lived, he says those are old things. They're passed away. There was a line that he crossed. And when he crossed that line, his old life was gone. Gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? 80%. No. All. 90%. All. 99%. All. All things are become new. Why? Because to live is Christ. Christ creates all things new. All things are become new. And so, dear ones, we can ask ourselves, if our conversion wasn't as absolute as Saul's was, okay, does that now mean that I am lost in eternity? I can't go back and get baptized again. We know Jesus only died once for us. What do I do? What do I do with all my yesterdays? It's called repentance. The Lord says, come unto me. I won't cast you away. Come to me. Repent. Change. I will purify you for the day, for the present. I will give you my righteousness. And then what about the tomorrows? He says, I am with you always. I am with you always. The power is always with us. There's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear about our yesterdays. Nothing to fear about our todays. Nothing to fear about our tomorrows. To live is Christ. When to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's always Christ. We're always blessed. We always have peace. We always have joy. We say, well, that's almost sounds fictional. No, what it is it means we have to die. There's a cross there. And we have to die every day. To my will, to my anger, to my lust, to my desire, I have to die to that every day. And then I can say to live is Christ. May we, dear ones, if we are unable to fill in that, as Paul wrote it, if we couldn't do it earlier, let us seek him, because he won't cast us aside. He won't cast us away. And he will be with us, and he will empower us and give us the strength to live lives that are holy and pleasing unto him, so that we can look and feel the blessings that are poured down upon those who are obedient. Obedience brings blessings unparalleled. May God bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.
And very clear message. I believe we've been impressed upon by the Holy Spirit this message that to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'd like to read some of the verses that were alluded to both in the sermon and in the prayer. where the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, really thought very highly of himself. He wrote in Philippians by saying, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Saying, if you think you can trust in the flesh, I can trust in the flesh way more. "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." The Apostle Paul, Saul, as he's on this road to Damascus, he's power tripping. He's thinking very highly of himself. "I've got letters here from the chief priest, and I'm going to exercise my authority and my ability to persecute this church." But then he found the way. Then he found the way. Praise God. And may it be that we would say with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen.